the ways of life have just become unlivable in a lot of the places they're leaving. And
so
you know,
often
no
caused
really,
by the countries they are fleeing
exactly.
to that are trying to prevent them from coming in.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of them don't want to leave. You know, they don't want to leave their communities, their homes, their parents, their children. And yet they do. You know, it's astounding to me the extent to which people risk their lives to get to Europe, only to die or be turned away.
Alexis Okeowo, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Staff writer for The New Yorker and author. Their latest piece for The New Yorker is headlined, The Crisis of Missing Migrants. What has become of the tens of thousands of people who've disappeared on their way to Europe? We'll link to it at democracynow.org. And a fond farewell to our remarkable video fellow, Mary Conlon. Thank you for all you've contributed to at Democracy Now! It's always been an honor to work with you. Now you are forever a part of our DNA. That's Democracy Now! Alumni. And that does it for our show, Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Geisler, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Werner, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at KBOO.FM. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tam, and with me is the luxurious, vivacious. That's the word. The vivacious Althea Billings.
I'm gonna put that one on my vision board. I love that. vivacious. Hi, Tammy. Good morning. Thank you for the introduction. We're live, people.
Here we
are. Oh my goodness. I tell you? I gotta wake up a little early to be here on time. And doing that this morning, I was like, when is the last time that I actually got to do this? Because mm-hmm. it's a privilege. Because we pre-recorded last week because of power issues at the station. And then we've been off for a couple weeks before that. So very grateful to be here with you live.
Yes, here we are in person. We will be taking calls later on.
Yeah.
We'll be doing the whole shebang. Here we are. It's a pleasure to be here. Lights are on.
The lights are on. We love that.
Yeah. This mic is working. Headphones mm-hmm. are on. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. are in it to win it.
I have it on reasonable authority that people can hear us right now, which is great.
Good. I'm glad. For those of you who are maybe tuning in for the first time, this program is called The Gap. This is a two-part show. In the first part, we usually have a guest interview or a news roundup, and where a roundup, yes, it is.
Roundup, yeah.
I would say roundhouse. A news roundup where we talk about local and sometimes even national and global news.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is where we open up the phone lines for you, the listener, to become a caller for our community question, where we ask a question and then open up the phone lines for you to answer it.
So, yeah, stick around. Sorry, I was yawning. Not because I'm tired. Not because I don't want to be here.
It was
dark. It just came out. It was, yeah.
I was
very
confused. I had to keep looking at my phone like, is it AM or PM?
Hello? So, yeah, stick around for 8:30 for our community question. Boy, do we have some news to talk about today.
People are freaking out.
People, guys, everybody calm down.
Please calm down.
The first story we wanted to talk about is, can I say it's a little silly?
It is very silly. Yeah,
well, there's a part of it that's silly and there's a part of it that's not silly. So there was a report, I would say, about gas stoves and that emissions from gas stoves in the home have been connected to increased risk for childhood asthma, respiratory illnesses. And that came up in Congress, I believe, or they were talking about it, that there it has this health hazard, and you know, indoor air quality is something that people are more aware of these days, and that, you know, running a gas stove can contribute to health risks because it emits nitrogen dioxide or nitrogen oxides. There's poisonous gases essentially in the stove, so there is no like agreed upon standard for regulating that kind of stuff. So this is just sort of like picking up steam of like, hey, whoa, your gas stove could be making you sick more at 11 kind of a thing.
Exactly.
And some people took it kind of hard.
They said, this is America. It's all about guns, God, and God stoves.
And gas stoves. And gas stoves. The big three.
Yes.
They're
freaking out.
Conservatives kind of had a little bit like, the government's trying to take away your stove. You can pry it from my cold dead hand.
It's just very bizarre. All the tweets and the memes and all of the...
Yeah.
It's just a very bizarre thing to freak out about.
It would be really so funny if it was self-parody.
Oh
but
my God.
I don't know that it is. The New York Times article on it, Dr. Aaron Bernstein, Interim Director for Center for Climate Health and Global Environment at Harvard, says, quote, no one should freak out about this news. And that is not really the case. I have a few thoughts about it.
I'd love to hear them.
One,
do.
they're mostly talking about mitigation things. They're not going to like come in and take your gas stove away, but it does impact like 40 million American homes, mm-hmm. right? They're like, get a range hood, make sure you got some kind of ventilation going on so that you're not breathing this stuff in. The other thing that I would think about of like, why are we so defensive over? Because no one's there. Here's the other thing: it's like no one's gonna make you stop using a gas stove.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like this is coming, especially like the real outspoken people that are so upset about this are the same ones that say things like you can't have a reasonable conversation with people on the left. You know, where it's like, oh man, the irony just doesn't. It's, I told you my thing about irony. You want people to get irony? Call your child irony and have someone pick it up from school. The only way people are going to get it. They're not going to get this. Also,
I don't know if you did tell me that before, but that's awesome.
It's also the fact that the study is specifically talking about like the impact on families and children that are in houses where there is a gas stove. And it just seems like, again, these are the same people that are so worried about children being around, you know, anyone who isn't like a cis person.
Yeah.
And but yet you let them. I'm like just so confused about the moral out.
Like, get over here, my 5-year-old. You need to be huffing this gas from the stove.
And I get like government overreach. Like totally get it. This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for all of us.
Yeah.
The memes are great though.
The memes are great. It's reminding me now of so for part of the newscast, I look up kind of like today in history stuff. And a few of them this week, one of them was like the first study about like smoking and its connection to cancer came out in like the 60s, I think, this week. And there was another one, a letter to an editor that was basically misused for years that because it implied that opioids weren't addictive. So it's like, you know, big gas stove. Why are you protecting them? You know what I mean? but the maybe productive thing that it made me think about was actually something that my therapist gave me called a values assessment, which I think is just important because obviously people are agitated by this. But I don't know that before this issue came up, would you say that cooking on a gas stove is core to your identity? and does that really challenge you? You know, like, because I mean, I think there are things that or issues or areas that like may be really important to you that you're like, hey, no, like have a big reaction about it and it makes sense. But I find it really hard to believe that cooking on a gas stove is one of them. Not to say that there aren't differences between cooking on gas and electric and open flame, because there definitely are. Mm-hmm. But we're not seeing like professional chefs raising their expensive knives and saying, hey, stay back. You know,
and if most like restaurants have a range, you know, so
yeah,
this is interesting. It's interesting that you brought up like the identity part of it, because it's like, it's so embarrassing. That's the only way I can explain it. Where there's definitely things to be outraged about in small town communities, cities, globally, nationally, but. This is, pick your fights. I don't know. The folks that are so outspoken about this, like, they seem like really triggered by this. And I'm really trying to understand, like, the logic of, of just why is this so, is it, again, and like the memes are just outrageous. They make absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find some of these memes that are just,
I don't know if there was one that we saw that was like, come and take it with a photo of a gas range, which was funny.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me, you know?
It's interesting. It's bizarre.
I mean,
and obviously it's part of anything for the culture wars, I guess.
Anything for the culture wars. All of the sort of things that are being recommended is ventilate, open a window, crack a door, put on the fan. Use the exhaust hood, try to use the stove less often if you have a gas range. All of these things could be making us healthier. I don't know, because here's the thing. If they're like, you're taking the stance that being poisoned isn't a big deal, which is a weird one.
Well, I think it's that the government can't tell you whether or not you can poison yourself.
That was already true. Well, no, that's not true, because they say that they regulate water quality. Looking suspiciously at all the lead pipes in the ground.
Yeah.
No, they don't keep you from poisoning yourself. They say they set a regulation at the rate at which you can be poisoned.
Sure, gotcha.
So parts per million.
We all got a little bit of lead in us.
And microplastics.
Sure.
So
look at us from where we came from.
Sort of sunk cost. I mean, I'm already filled.
The return on investment.
I'm already filled with industrial poisons. What's a little bit of a gas stove? Which is fine. But it's making an informed decision about it, you know? Maybe there's people out there who are, like, you know, building a house or renovating their kitchen. This is maybe something they'd want to take into consideration.
Yeah, and I mean, if I have an electric situation. I love gas stoves.
Mine's electric, too.
They're so much better.
They're fancy.
They are... I feel like the food comes better. Mm. It, like, cooks better.
Gets hot.
Gets charred a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
But that's, like, kind of where it starts and ends. Like, it's not like I'm going to... Like, you know, fact that people are like guns, God, and gas stoves.
Yeah.
It's like, are you putting God in the same category as a gas stove?
The big three, the three G's.
Very confusing. Not.
Yeah.
I wish them well. This seems, I don't know, it seems like a publicity stunt.
Well, yeah, sit with it for a second. And maybe it is a publicity stunt. Maybe we're falling for it, you know? Mm-hmm. But it just makes me think of, you know, letting things settle, letting things progress. And also, like, you know, is this something worth fighting for? Because we all have, you know, certain energy or what we want to devote our resources to. And is trying to make sure that your neighbor can still be poisoned. Or like, is it to suppress the information? I don't know. But we thought that was... It's a little bit silly. And it's a little bit like, hey, open a vent hood. You got to vent some of this stuff. Vent it out. Both your feelings and the poisonous gases.
I think conservatives have just way bigger issues to deal with right now than...
Yeah, they don't want to fry the big fish. They have bigger fish to fry and they don't want to do it.
Well, that's where... But they have a gas stove, so they want to fry the fish. They will fry that
fish.
It's
going to have a beautiful crispy skin if they ever decide to do it.
No, but really, there's just such bigger issues. Like, they're like... Between the McCarthy and Santos, like, oh my god.
Yeah, we didn't even put Santos on the list.
No, he's not. That saga is unraveling quickly. Unraveling quicker than me with a bottle of wine, you know? Unraveled.
Just lying.
I kind of just sorry.
Why didn't they check?
They'll just take any. It's like,
and that's why journalism is so important, by the way. Because they're the only ones checking his resume.
Well, that was
on artistry.
We can move over to our second.
Yeah, talk to me.
Let's see. We have.
Where are we going next?
Oh, I guess we're going. Usually, we go local and then national. But yeah. I guess this time we're going different. Ooh, January 8th.
Whoa. Don't you mean January 6th?
Thank you. No, January 6th we're familiar with what happened January 6th with the insurrection at the Capitol.
Mm.
This January 8th, however, Brazil said, oh, America, hold my beer real quick.
And January 8th, January 6th plus 2, part 2, insurrection in Brazil.
Is that what that sacred geometry you got for me over there?
No, I was trying to come up with a subtitle.
We'll figure it out.
the tagline for the movie. Continue.
There is, there's so many just interesting articles, but there's one from Politico where Bannon is speaking about the Brazil riots, which I don't know, he's just digging himself into a hole, but I found this really interesting because of, A, the whole like globalization of the conspiracy theory realm and like the whole...
Yeah, we should say it was a very similar situation. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yes,
Brazil.
It was on the 8th.
This ultra conservative guy lost. His supporters said election fraud, and then they tried to occupy the Capitol.
And it was hundreds of people. Yeah. Hundreds of people. And there was like smoke grenades, and really people showed up. The difference, there's a couple of differences between what happened January 6th in D.C. and what happened on the 8th in Brazil, the biggest one being that there was a mass arrest at the end of it, and that also no one died.
I didn't know you could arrest someone the same day that they did treason. I thought you had to wait.
Well, you have to wait and have their kids snitch on them on TikTok and then go to their house and pick them up, because that's what happened in the States.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But this is just, like, fascinating. A lot of the stuff that... A lot of the organizing for these... disgruntled, for lack of better words, freedom fighters, and again, this is not me calling them that.
That's what they're, Bannon is calling them.
It is, a lot of it happened, like a lot of the planning for it wasn't like in these kind of like fringe groups. It was very out in the open. People were very motivated to do this. I don't know if this is something that we're going to keep seeing throughout, you know, different nations during election time. But the fact that people are reacting like this after someone that they like doesn't, you know, get elected, it's pretty frightening. But this is definitely like something to look out for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, who is it? Bolsonaro. He's also...
Oh, Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro is, yeah. I'm not sure if he still is, but this week he was... in Florida.
Oh.
Because after you...
If you're going to lead an insurrection, you better take a load off in Florida. I've often said that.
It was rumored that he may or may not have been invited to Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
This is just like...
I'd love to congratulate you on another failed insurrection. boy.
What do you have for dinner after a failed insurrection?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a roast.
I mean, like the first time it happens, you're like... oh, what do I do? But then maybe when the second one happens, you're like, well, I should have what I had last time. You know, now I know what to eat after an insurrection that I instigated and then it failed. But I don't know. Maybe I was going to say maybe some cake, because they want to have your cake and eat it too.
Have your cake. Let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake.
Anyways, well, and this is something that I just wanted to... Oh, this is just unbelievable. It just keeps going and going. There's something I wanted to bring to the consciousness of our conversations, since these things just don't happen in a vacuum. And I think we mentioned time and time again this phrase of like laboratories of democracy, and you know, kind of things happening for the first time and kind of setting a precedence or looking back at into history and see what happened before, so that people can get inspired or just, you know, see where they're.
And as much as we're watching our own politics and the things that are happening in the U.S., everybody around the world is also watching.
Mm-hmm.
it also sets a precedent there.
And then internet, just the fact that it's like a glue that connects all of us together on a, you know, globally.
Yeah. And they're like, did you guys hear about election fraud? Get into it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Another story.
Oh, I was gonna. No. I don't actually have anything else to say about the Brazil thing, but I was gonna try to work in that President Bush thing where he thought a Brazilian was a number. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh no,
I won't worry about it.
Oh, like a million. So a Brazilian. Yeah,
he's like, I don't know how much a Brazilian is. I don't know. Okay,
he's an artist. Okay, leave him alone.
He's an artist. What was I? Oh, we were talking about legacy. Kids in college, and it's like, yeah, he got into Yale, and I don't think it was for his artistic chops. So, anyway,
have you seen his paintings of world dictators?
Oh, I haven't seen the dictator ones. I've seen the ones of dogs that he does on his plane.
Aww.
See, I mentioned dogs, and you softened on him immediately when you were talking about dictators. So I just go, maybe we'll just keep things moving.
It's the yin and yang of the show.
Uh huh. The duality of man, some would say, that he can both. All right. No. Pay attention. What's next?
Let's see. What's going on? Oh, the Oregon Emergency Pandemic Food Benefits.
Oh, yeah.
The Snapple Thea. This is a PSA in a way.
Kind of a little bit of an FYI, a little bit of a thing to pay attention to. So since I believe April or May of 2020, there's been additional funding for SNAP recipients to get extra money to feed their families and stuff. And that program has basically run out of money, and the last enhanced payment will be on March 2nd. And so officials are really recommending that SNAP recipients check their benefits now and start making a plan. The vibe of the statements that people are making about it are like, we're really sorry, we know this isn't better, you know, like call 211, check in with the Oregon Food Bank, update your info with SNAP if things have changed and you need more support. So yeah, got like a month and a half to start devising a plan, I suppose. But I think it's something that everybody should be aware of, and also something to be aware of now that the Oregon legislative session has started as well.
Interesting. Look at you putting that in there.
Just a little bit of a wink and a nod, you know?
things don't happen in a vacuum.
They certainly do not. Other things, other locals.
Yeah, going on the locals, yeah.
And former Portland mayor, was currently Mayor Wheeler's top aide, Sam Adams.
Or the shadow mayor, some of
them. The shadow mayor, Sam Adams, has resigned, citing chronic health issues. This week, very quick turnaround on that too. Sent the email. Last day was Wednesday, I believe. And boy, if people don't really know how to talk about it.
Yeah. There is.
I sent you the email like, Tammy, look, oh my God, Sam Adams is resigning.
Yeah, and I told everyone I knew afterwards, and everyone was like, what? That's what? No way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. This is, I think that I was talking to you about how I'm like, kind of, you know, while it's terrible that he's gotten sick, and I feel really sad, and I do extend my, you know, get well soon, and I've washed him out, and I really wish the best for you, health-wise. And also, I do wonder, I do feel like perhaps considering Sam Adams' history and career politician vibes, I could definitely see him trying to prior to this try to not weasel, what's it, navigate his way
navigate as unto a worm
navigate his way towards being
the city administrator
the new structure, for the new structure of government, just because of, you know, what he's his qualifications, where he's been, and mostly 90% of who's connected to and what interests he he's
which maybe let's clarify for the people. Let's have a little instructive conversation as to why Sam Adams' policies, or the policies that he's supported in an unelected position,
right,
have been incredibly influential and frustrating.
Very clearly seems to have the mayor's ear.
Definitely has the mayor's ear. Started in Portland politics back in the 90s under Vera Katz, and then was mayor himself, and then didn't seek re-election, I believe, because of a underage sex scandal with a legislative intern, alleged. And then now with Wheeler has very much was like the person who came up with the idea for the homeless camping ban and the mass encampments run by the National Guard. They're not saying run by the National Guard anymore.
A leaked memo that he had sent out.
Yeah, it's by his design, and he's very much a friend of the Portland Business Alliance. So what is a friend? Maybe besties.
A friend, advocate, lobbyist,
lackey.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, they're
and again in an unelected capacity. Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that we've seen come out of Portland over the last few years and the shifts have been Sam Adams cooking it up, and he's out of there now. But hey, if you're a Sam Adams fan, they say, don't worry, we're still going to do what he says. They say, we're still going to carry on in his preferences, I suppose. But yeah, there's also, we're not telling tales out of school here, but there may be more to develop about the timing. We don't know.
Interesting. Do you have a gut feeling? Or
I don't, I wouldn't say it's a gut feeling. I think it's like precedent, maybe, or just like
there it is. Nothing happens in a vacuum.
And you know what else? Get it in writing. Motto for this year.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Other stuff we wanted to talk about. Where do you want to go now?
Oh man, we have Tina Kotek.
Oh yeah, Tina, new our official governor now.
Officially new governor.
Governor Tina Kotek declared a homelessness state of emergency on her first day in office. It doesn't actually apply to the whole state, but to places where the sheltered and unsheltered homelessness rate has doubled between 2017 and 2022, which, would you believe it, is a lot of the state. Mm. So that's where it's an emergency. And why is that a good thing? Why do we care about that? Well, when a governor declares a state of emergency, it frees up a bunch of funding to go to address the problem. It also creates something called like an incident command structure. So similar to like natural disaster recovery, it creates sort of this like bureaucracy that can move more swiftly to respond to things. So that's kind of what's going on there. There were a couple other complementary things, setting a pretty high goal for development over the next year, 80% increase over what we've been seeing. And I think she sent some budget projections to the legislature of what she thinks they should fund.
Yeah, I think $100 million in a one-time money that could be spent expanding shelter capacity in Oregon. And I really, from this OPB article, this is kind of what we talk about, where you don't reinvent the wheel and bring in people from California and like companies from California to take care of issues that you have in your town.
Ew.
And I really like that Governor Tina Kotek used the study that was issued by the Department of Housing and Community Services, mm-hmm. that was released last August, to kind of understand the geography, like what's happening, the mm-hmm. situation a little bit better, it's really great that she's saying this, and it's again not like this is stuff that I'm wishing would come from City Hall, you know, but this is a quote. Homelessness, especially unsheltered homelessness, is catastrophic proportions in Oregon, mm-hmm. and she states this stat. Oregon is one of four states in which more than half, in parentheses 61%, of all people experiencing homelessness were found in unsheltered locations.
Yeah.
She continues to talk a little bit more about it and quote from the study itself. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what sticks.
And I will also say, like, big action is needed, and it's definitely gotten a focus around the Portland metro area. Like, it is certainly, because there's so many people that live here, obviously there's like a higher population density, but it's something that's impacting the entire state. And I would also just point out that the state level solutions, or state level funding for specific county level solutions, have been extremely positive in the mm-hmm. past couple of years. Project Turnkey, I believe it was mm-hmm. called, was a funding mechanism to convert like abandoned motels and hotels mm-hmm. into transitional housing. So important thing about that is that, you know, people are getting their own space, a door that they can lock, maybe a kitchenette, but still basing their, you know, residence there on, you know, complying with different rules and, you know, that kind of thing, but making it much easier to get there, not having, you know, getting locked out from 7 a.m. to right. 10 p.m.
Which is, that's, I couldn't believe, you know, when during the storm, yeah. you know that the shelters closed at like 8?
I didn't know that.
There's a Account Shift LLC, I forgot what it's a Instagram account that yeah. Does a lot of really great updates. I was shocked. Can you imagine looking someone in the eye and saying, you gotta go?
Yeah.
In the snow, like the unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of reasons as soon as you sort of start looking at like the congregate shelter conditions about why doesn't this work for people? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's really hostile to having it work for people. So there was quite a bit of success with converting those motels at the county level, that it got more funding from the state, more to be done. So, you know, that is exciting. Oh, sorry, I keep bumping the mic. I'm just talking with my hands. I'm getting excited. That there are things that have been working and that it's a complex problem that needs a complex solution, and just pretending that it doesn't exist or trying to just shuffle people out of sight right. is not fixing the problem. And if we fix the dangerous. Problem, then we don't have to do any of that stuff anymore.
And this is something that Governor Newsom, as well as Governor Inslee, there it is, are also declaring state of emergencies. So this is, I don't know, I think we're on a path of something. Of course, this could look good in writing, and then the execution of it could be not that great, or the opposite. I don't know. I'm hopeful because I think that I'm just hopeful that she's not bringing in, like, again, some California firm that's going to come and clean up the streets of Portland, quote unquote, and right. you know, like, put salt and straw logos on everything, you know. I said it.
This
I said
sweep
it.
Sponsored by Salt and Straw.
Why?
Sorry,
why?
It's grim. It's grim. But yeah, glad to see
it's taking it seriously.
Comprehensive yeah. action being taken, and you know, fulfilling on campaign promises. That is what she said she was going to mm-hmm. do, and not in the sense of, you know, start moving people out of where they are. You know. Yeah.
I'm fast. I'd love to hear her and. Be like a fly on the wall in her weekly check-ins that she does with Ted Wheeler.
Oh, is that? Like,
every 2 weeks, I'm going to come and talk to you.
Oh, boy.
I wonder if they're still doing that. Oh, to be a wall in that. To be an emoji in that Zoom room.
What emoji would you be?
I like the one that's laughing, crying.
Oh, yeah.
But not the sideways one. I like the straight-faced one.
Yeah. You're like, I'm serious, but I'm also laughing and crying. Laughing and crying seriously.
I also like the otter that does the prayer hands.
Oh.
It's my favorite. It's like, why is an otter put in making prayer hands? It's so cute.
Are they doing prayer hands, or are they, like, holding their special rock?
I think they're just doing, like, what otters do and just hold their hands in that
matter.
Yeah,
they hold their special rock. Did you know otters have, like, a pouch?
Yeah, and they also use rocks as tools, which is, like, super
And they
smart.
Hold hands when they sleep.
Because they don't float, so they don't,
so they
float,
don't
away.
Float away.
Aww.
Okay,
nice.
We're changing the show to just talking about otter facts.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, we could just do a little quick one.
Sure. Measure 114.
Gun control that voters passed in November was supposed to go into effect. Stopped in its tracks by a Kearney County Circuit Court judge. But, you know, fear not. They're gonna have it out one way or another, and the sort of interfaith community that helped to write and campaign for the law is still working on it. They didn't abandon it. Thoughts, please talk to me.
I'm still. I know that the Portland community, different communities within Portland, are so torn about this, and. I know that, again, I'll mention it again, the voter pamphlets, the sheriff's department said, this is not constitutional, you can't do this, we will sue you if you do it, and they kept their word.
Yeah.
They did. So I wonder how much they'll have to, like, push back or how much you'll have, you know, how much slack they'll have to, like, what the negotiations look like.
And I mean, the thing that that people should at least be aware of is because Measure 114 was pretty comprehensive. It talked about a lot of different things. There is a specific separability clause, so that if the county or if the judge or the circuit court judge or the federal judge, because it's both places now, if they find one aspect of the law to be unconstitutional, for example, the ban on, you know, magazines more than 10 rounds, then the rest of the law is allowed to be separated from that language. And the language of the law says, hey, if the voters pass this, they want everything to be in effect, even if part of it gets struck down, they still want the rest of it. One thing, can I just...
What is it? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just recalling kind of like the Republican or the opposition argument that, you know, that this is in some way not democratic, mm-hmm. what's been put into place. Or
like the thing that the people voted on?
Yeah, that they're like, they're overriding the legislature. It's like, I'm sorry, voting directly, that's direct democracy. The ballot measure is more democratic than representative democracy. So you couldn't filibuster and water it down because people voted for it. So I'm just remembering that argument now and sort of getting frustrated that I didn't point it out sooner, how silly that was. I mean, people feel strongly about it. The big three, God, guns, gas, stoves.
This is where we're at.
Next thing you know, they're going to say you can't believe in God anymore.
Well, it's a war on Christmas.
Yeah, the war on... Well, just wait till Easter rolls around.
I just want to say, Althea, this is... We're 13 days into the new year. Friday the 13th.
Whoa!
Oh, whoops. 13 days into the new year.
Is it like a Beetlejuice thing where you can't... If you bring it up three times, something bad happens? Or what's the vibe?
Oh, we have to run around the radio station three times, and then you have to knock in a certain way, and then I'll open it, and then we lifted the curse. So
okay, well, we can do that after the show, or maybe on our musical break.
Right, on musical break, which we are about to break into in just a moment or two. And this has been the roundup for today's news, or this week's news. Man, this is yin and yang. You know, a little bit of here, a little bit of that. But I think we are overall going to mosey on over to our second part of the show, but first a quick musical break.
Thank you for listening to The Gap. We'll be back momentarily.
Are back here on KBOO Portland on The Gap. That was Lisa Marie Presley with You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, who passed away last night.
Aww.
Yeah, that was a beautiful song.
It's a really good song.
I didn't realize this was her style of music. I would have listened to her earlier.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I like that feel.
Yeah, definitely.
90s of grungy. Anywho's, here we are, part two on The Gap, where we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, to become a caller for our community question. Mm-hmm. But before that, we have a mailbag.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to do a quick little mailbag. If folks want to get in contact with us, you can on Instagram at The Gap Radio. You can send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com. I wanted to just give a shout out to Carmel and Sherry for reaching out to us after the show last week. Ooh. We really love hearing from people both on the phones and online. And you can also mail us stuff if you would like to The Gap, courtesy of KBOO, 20 Southeast, 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. All right, Community question time. We haven't gotten to do one of these in so long.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Excited to hear since people's last year, input. Huh? Oh, I guess so.
New year, new question.
New year, new question.
Okay, do you want to introduce it or do you want me to?
Oh, no, you. This is all you.
This is my idea. All right, people. This is the time to call in. The community question for today is, what is a song lyric that really speaks to you and why? 503-231-8187 is the telephone number. Give us a ring. Let us know what you're thinking.
So there's so many. Music is the only reason I'm still alive in my world. So this is, I love this question. What song lyric speaks to you? 503-231-8187. You want to go first?
Well, I have like a lot of them. I started thinking about it and I've like started geeking out.
Sure. Music is great.
Well, just because, like, you know, and also thinking back to like song lyrics that meant something to you at a particular point in time, or like what was important for you to hear. A lot of mine are kind of classic rock.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, whoa.
Although I think if you give me a second to remember the lyric, I can pull the Tame Impala one that I've been thinking of more recently. There's one of them. This is especially important for me when I graduated college. The song Vienna by Billy Joel. And like, what is Vienna, like metaphorically, you know? And he has this whole thing about how, you know, slow down, you move too fast, Vienna waits for you. And not to give you, you know, too much behind the music, but like,
it's like genius.
I know, but like knowing that it's like about his estranged father who like left him and started a new family in Vienna, and then he goes to visit, and it's like about Vienna, but the metaphor of Vienna that I get so excited about is like your second life or the rebirth or wherever you're supposed to be. It waits for you. It's there all the time. You don't need to rush through life. You don't need to try to tick boxes when they're not ready to be ticked, or like, who cares about those boxes? Because do they even have checklists in Vienna? You know, I don't know. But that's, I really like that song, and I think that it wormed its way into my brain, and I felt it, you know. If other folks want to give us a call, what is a song lyric that really speaks to you? We want to know. Maybe we'll put together a playlist. That could be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. I like that. That would be fun.
Yeah, 503-231-8187.
Can I share the first one that came to mind?
Yeah, please.
Just in the spirit of your
classic rock. Yeah.
I think I've mentioned this before. It's a Pink Floyd lyric. You ready for this?
Yeah.
It gives me chill bumps every time. All you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be.
Whoa.
Why?
Say more.
All you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what does that mean? It's you better go out there and see absolutely everything that you can. Experience everything, feel it, see it. Let all five senses be immersed in it, because that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
I like that you can take it. Experiences. Yeah, you can take it kind of two ways.
What? How you take it?
Well, I think that you can take it of like you're saying, like, be as big as you can. Mm-hmm. Everything that you want, you have to go after. Oh, you know, whatever you, what, you know, what you said. But you could also say it in sort of like a, you're not going to be anything more than that kind of a way. But I like things that cut both ways like that. I think that it's the big and the small, you know.
I also like attract. when you hear a song at a different time in your life and all of a sudden it gains a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I have at one point in time made the mistake of, like, you know, there's like songs that is like so associated with a particular time in your life, and then I feel like I can listen to one off, but if I listen to like two or three songs of the same era, I'm like, oh my God, I'm transported back to those emotions, things that I don't even mentally agree with now or feel strongly in the slightest, but like, it'll take me back there, you know. But renewing, giving a new context. And then also something I worry about is like the music that I'm listening to now, is that going to be ruined for me later because it's going to be too associated with this time?
Don't want to listen to something too long,
right?
Then it'll just stuck to that moment in time. Then we have Arthur on the line. Arthur, can you hear us? You're on the air.
Yes, I can.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, I can't think. There's so many lyrics, but one that just came to mind is by the Breeders. the Breeders, a song called Cannonball. Mm-hmm. And I like that real simple lyric. I'm the last splash. I'm the last splash.
Mm, I like
very
that.
Very simple. Yeah, I like the way it goes with Kim Deal's singing. So, anyway, I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. The last splash.
Ooh.
I like
that. I am now realizing that this is sort of an exercise in poetry and metaphor.
Oh, I love that.
Like, what really speaks to you in song lyrics? And I really like that. Thank you so much for calling, Arthur. Other folks, what is a song lyric that really speaks to you? It doesn't have to be like, because I feel like, you know, it doesn't have to be representative of you or how you feel about stuff, but just one that sort of hits you in your gut. Let us know. 503-231-8187. We would love to hear what you think.
Have another one for you.
Yeah, go for it.
If we're sharing,
if we can be honest on this radio program.
If we can be honest while the phone lines start trickling in. Another part, there's a lyric from a song another one that I really like called Darling by a band called Crass. And they say, they sell us love as divinity when it's really just a social obscenity. Underneath it, we're all lovable.
Whoa! Oh my God. I gotta take a step back.
That's me clapping for myself.
Whoever wrote that had to feel like,
and they deal with like a very good, very thick, it's set itself as divinity. They're British. They're very angry Cockney ex. 503-231-8187.
Tell us about your favorite song lyric
all around.
What are you guys listening to these days?
Yeah,
you
what's
know?
A shuffle?
Let
what
us
is
know.
It? Because there's that almost like you hear a whole song almost just for that one line. You ever feel that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh wait, I wasn't upset enough for this line. I gotta go back. And now that I'm truly upset, I am the splash.
I am the last splash.
I like that. The last splash.
Mm-hmm.
Man, mm-hmm. Like I think of like being that last drop of rain on a river.
Yeah. Psh. Ripples, baby. Ripples. Okay, you want to hear another one of mine?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, this one is from Paul Simon's Obvious Child, where there's this line where he says, "The cross is in the ballpark." Which, interesting how much he uses Christian imagery for someone who isn't Christian.
What is the ball is in the cross park?
The cross is in the ballpark basically means that life's burdens are within our reach. So, like, the cross is the burden and the ballpark is, like... So, it's just recognizing that, like, you know, the things... What we must carry, it's not out of reach. The cross is in the ballpark. And it's just a great moment in the song, you know? I just like it so much. So yeah, put that one on the playlist. That one's that that's a song lyric that I like. And again, was researching the meaning at a particular point in my life where I was like, yeah, no, you know what? I got to decide that the cross is in the ballpark at this point. Why deny the obvious, child? You know?
The cross to be, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You're right. This is a little exercise and I have to use like a different side of my brain than we used early in the morning.
Yeah.
503-231-8187 is the phone number.
Mm-hmm. If you want to tell us your favorite song lyric on Instagram or Gmail, you can also do that at The Gap Radio on Instagram. Or send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com. Or if you think of it later today and you want to do it, we can shout out your favorite song lyric next week. And we are here right now, so, you know, why not seize the day? 503-231-8187 is the number. Let us know your favorite song lyric. What's something that speaks to you?
And we do have Francis on the line. Francis, can you hear us?
Yes.
You are on the air. Please share your lyric with us.
Hi. Well, first of all, I think Earth, Wind, and Fire is probably universal forever and ever and ever.
Mm.
But one of their songs, That's the Way of the World, mm-hmm. I like very much. And I don't want to say all the lyrics. You will find peace of mind when you look way down in your heart and soul. Don't hesitate because the world seems cold. Stay young at heart because you'll never, 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 never old at heart.
Oh, I really like that.
That's the way of the world. There's a verse about, I can't remember exactly the words. that's the way of the world. Plant your flowers and you grow a pearl. Mm. A child is born with a heart of gold. Listen now, with a heart of gold. Mm. The way of the world makes his heart so cold.
Ooh.
That love. You got to hear it, but it's beautiful.
That's wonderful. I looked up the lyrics when you started talking about it. I don't know if I've heard this one maybe I've heard it, but I haven't paid attention to the lyrics.
Yeah, listen to it, and the music is beautiful too. So.
Yeah,
that's probably one of my very favorite songs in the whole world.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us.
All right, you guys take care.
Have a good one. Yeah.
I love that.
It's beautiful.
And we have another caller on the line. April, can you hear us?
Yes. So I had to call in. There is one song that has sort of been stuck in my head lately. So it's a song I really liked when I was a young adult, and then I totally forgot about it. But it seems to have a lot of significance lately. It's a little-known song that I wasn't able to find when I looked for it. It's called Signs by the Five Man Electrical Band.
Okay.
And it really seems to have a lot of significance for what's going on. Like, it tells you what to do and what you can't do.
Yeah.
And two songs that have been with me for decades that I find a lot of hope, and then one kind of lifts me up when I'm feeling awful. I like David Bowie's Starman,
mm-hmm.
telling us that it's all worthwhile.
Mm.
And then every time I'm really feeling stressed out, I really, really like the Rolling Stones' 19th Nervous Breakdown.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Oh, please, you have some more?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I really like this question.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, April.
Thank you.
Have a great morning.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, good things to add to the playlist there. I love that.
Yeah, this is fun.
I'm having fun. I'm just looking up lyrics as people are talking about them.
And I do like that people are giving us the songs that make them feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Call us. We got time, folks. We got until 9 o'clock. Let us know. What's your favorite song lyric? What's something that really speaks to you? 503-231-8187. We would love to hear it. Okay, I have two.
Please do.
Do you want to hear the happy one or the sad one?
I want the sad one first, so that the happy I end in a happy note.
Okay, this is the Tame Impala one. It's called Posthumous Forgiveness, and it's just the part of the song that it is, and it says, "And you could store an ocean in the holes in any of the explanations that you gave, and while you still had time, you had a chance, but you decided to take all your sorries to the grave." And I'm just like, ah, you know, when someone should have apologized to you a long time ago. I just really like yelling that part of the song. Okay, and then my really sweet one is an Eagles song where they say, "I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight with a million stars all around." And I, you know, it's a love song, and I like that one because I think you could take it both ways, you know, like having a beautiful experience of sleeping in the desert. That's a you know, unique experience for a lot of people, that you want to share that with somebody that you love, but also like sleeping in the desert, maybe that sucks. maybe that's something that is really actually unpleasant, but that is something that you would want to endure with that person with a million stars all around. A peaceful, easy feeling, that's what it's called. Sorry, I do know that. I just remember the lyric more than I remember the song title. But yeah, that one kind of makes me have a silly grin on my face because I like it. If you want to call, please do. 503-231-8187. What's a song lyric that really, really speaks to you? We've heard a lot of great ones so far this morning. I almost said afternoon. It's definitely morning. I got up not that long ago.
We have a bunch of callers. I want to bring one more into the consciousness before I get the callers, because
yeah.
I can. This is our show.
Yeah.
This is one from Lupe Fiasco. And it goes, "Might not go to college, but my street smart polished like the black fingernail of that punk rock logic."
Oh.
Punk rock logic. Yes. I love that song. Gold Watch, definitely recommend it.
Nice.
And we have on the line with us Kathy. Kathy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Oh, thank you. This is an awesome topic. I sure appreciate it. One song, I'm kind of old, so I have a lot of songs in my head. But one line that really got to me was these two Korean ministers singing this song back and forth in North Korea back in the 40s. And they were in prison, so a lot of beatings and all that. So, and I was touched that they would sing this, and it's called, the line is, "Snow and cold wind on the bitter dark night, lift off the weight of your cold, ruthless hand. Spring breeze will chase you and bring flowering fragrances, breathing new life to the suffocated land." And it's called Spring Breeze. And it just really touched my heart when I, you know, I'm lucky to live in America. I'm lucky to not be in jail. You know, not that I was heading that way, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And it just, there are folks in the world who, they have some in their heart, you know, something in their heart that keeps them going.
Yeah.
So thank you for letting me share.
Yeah,
thank
you. I appreciate you.
I love that. I'm not going to say that bring a little tear to my eye, but it may have, and that's fine. And we have on the line Dennis. Hold on. Dennis, can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. I've got two that I... that come to mind for me, and one of them is just, I don't know the name of the song, but I looked it up once, but the lyric is, "Don't give up, you only get what you give," and it's part of a song. It might even be the name of the song, but I'm sorry I don't have the name of the song, but it's a cool song. They played that lyric, I heard it on OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting. They played that, and I don't know if they still do, but when I was used to watch OPB, that would come in and during the breaks and stuff, and they'd put that in there, and it was just a really uplifting thing. Mm. And then it comes to me. The other one is a Fleetwood Mac lyric, if I can remember it. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. It'll be better than before. Better than before. And those two things helped me immeasurably. Those two little bits of inspiration. That's what I got.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dennis. I feel inspired.
Love some Fleetwood Mac, personally.
I feel inspired. I feel really good about this. This is really great.
Yeah. Thank you so much to everyone who's called. I will also say again, you can send us a message on Instagram. You can email us your song lyric. I think the great thing, I mean, obviously, like we said, metaphors, poetry, what really speaks to you, you know, but like it being in song form, I think makes it easier to like repeat to yourself or easier to have as a mantra or something that like keeps in your brain, in your life, you know. There was like, there was a period of time in high school where there was this Watsky song that I would recite to myself when I would get anxious, because it's kind of silly, you know, but it was like, "Everything is A-OK because I'm strong as an O-A-K, an oak." That's the lyric. That's the lyric. And that's what little 16-year-old Althea needed, sort of tromping down the halls of high school, trying not to freak out, you
know? Oh, man. That should be another more specific community question. Like, what song did you used to listen in your youth to be able to wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
I guess we got a couple of moments left. People can definitely call in. I'd like to share another one.
Yeah.
It's by this artist who's this vocalist. Her name is Gigi, and she's like the equivalent of like an Aretha Franklin or something in Ethiopia, where my mom would put her on when she cleaned the house, you know. Mm-hmm. And she has this lyric from a song that's called "Longing or Missing," Nafikan. And it's a lot of similes and like puns and idioms, and it's really beautiful, and it's like very beautiful. It's an Amharic. And she has a couple of lyrics. I'll take two of them. One of them is she talks about what she misses about her homeland, and this line says, "And I miss the town drunks who would drink all day but never fight." The image that comes to my head is like,
yeah, just evoke something.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then another one that really, really speaks to me, and I don't know if it'll translate well, but she's talking about the day that she left her house, and she says, "With my mother's with my mother's money at hand, I leave, but my face resembles my father's.
Ooh.
Which I like, that makes, I don't know, I freaking love it so
yeah,
much.
Yeah. Now I'm having the thought, also to incentivize people to go to our Instagram, I will put up a story today with clips of all of the songs that
Ooh.
People mentioned, so you can flip through and like listen to what people have been talking about. I'll try to have it up by noon. I'll do my best, but just to let you know, at the Gap Radio, that is something to look forward to later today, is to hear the songs for yourself.
That'll be fun. And if your songs aren't on, you know, the interweb, then that means that you're super cool.
Yeah, super, super cool.
I'll tip my hat.
Exactly.
I'm trying to look at the time thing. We have a couple more moments.
I think we have about 30 seconds to go.
Oh.
But this has been The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's been here with me. Thank you so much to everybody who called in. We're so happy and grateful to be back here in the studio live with you, getting to take your calls. The best part of this show is getting to talk to people.
Oh, yeah. It's
not us. Me and Tammy talk to each other all the time. So talking to you is like the best part. And getting to hear about songs today was awesome.
Yes. And we are looking forward to this upcoming year and all the stuff that we'll be doing together in the studio and together with y'all, the community. And hope everyone stays safe. Have a relaxing, fulfilling, and happy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Stay warm. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Yep.
It's kind of all we've got.
Yep. Vienna waits for you. The cross is in the ballpark.
Ooh,
you know.
Be the last splash you want to
be the last splash
you want to see.
You know?
Oh, I love it.
All right.
See ya.
See you next time. Bye. Girls, we run this mother.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, community radio.
Oh, let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor.